Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today the topic is, there are no obstacles. There's only the task at hand. And you simply need to decide if it is an adventure, a classroom, or both. If you allow life to happen to you, you are constantly faced with obstacles, with walls, with mountains, with hurdles, things that are in the way of where you think you're supposed to be. But if you can remember that life is mountains, life is walls to hurdle over, life is about that process of overcoming things that are in the way, then everything shifts. And that recognition of classroom or adventure is one of the things that has been so helpful to me lately. Because if you miss that, if you forget that, if you are back in the misunderstanding that you are trying to get to a goal as soon as possible, you're trying to make something happen, you're trying to hustle, you're trying to manipulate reality and the world and others and to get to a definition of success, then anything that slows you down is wrong, is bad, is a problem. But if we trust that we are not the ones in charge, that we are merely the students, the pupils, then as the homework assignment is given to us, rather than curse it, we can be, fantastic, another opportunity to grow and learn and be better. That is way harder than it sounds because it requires you to pull out of this path that you're on, pull out of the flow that you think you're on to recognize that no. Stop, pause, lesson. I've been noticing lately that I keep knocking things over and breaking things. Like a Christmas ornament, a glass, a pill bottle, and every time it's like, this is not how I wanted to spend the next 5 minutes. In fact, I already was thinking about what I was going to be doing in 2 minutes and 3 minutes and 4 minutes. And now all of that is on hold because things aren't going right. Unless you shift and go, this is not an obstacle. This is the task at hand. This must be done. I can curse it while I do it, or I can do it. Either way, the exact amount of energy, one is a process of suffering, one is simply actions. And if we let go, or we can remember that we are assigning meaning to everything we do, then we can recognize that slowing down can be an adventure or a classroom. It can be, you know, doing a homework assignment can be rewarding if you think you're trying to get to, you know, trying to cross the finish line. Or it can be like you're being punished if you're being forced to do something you don't want to do. Same is true with cleaning up something or any of the tasks that are simply part of being a human being. And I had a pretty significant and powerful experience at the burn this year. Well, it was part of a very long process. And I've sometimes talked about some of the dark moments that I have in my journey. And I feel so blessed to have had so many incredible adventures and so many amazing things have happened in my life. And sometimes I get to this place where I wonder, is there anything else that I need to do? Sure, I can do things, but do I need to do anything? And I had this powerful moment at the burn this year where I kind of had this like really strong question, like, are you done? Kind of like, you've been fiddling with this doubt and wondering and kind of being, kind of thinking about, and then it was like really crisp. Is there more you have to do in this lifetime? And when I was faced with that, especially amidst the Pink Heart community and the Pink Heart art and all of Burning Man and all of this thing that I've invested so much of my life and energy into and seen so much of the results and the ripples of the work and passion and love that I put into this, it's like in that context and making that question clear, it was like, oh no, I'm not done. And then less than 24 hours later, I was asked by the communications department at Burning Man if I would go on the radio and address the community and speak to the recent death in the community, speak to the community about coming together, record some PSA public service announcements about getting counseling. And it was like, I knew that I was the guy for this job. This is one of those things that I am still here to do. And I just was cleaning up a bunch of papers and gifts from Burning Man this year, and I found a letter that was left on my motorhome from somebody who was distraught with their child processing the Burning Man fatality, and then they wrote the letter about how much it meant to them, what I'd said on the radio, and how much that the role that I'd played had meant. And this is a stranger, this is someone I didn't know, and it was kind of like, how crazy that it can be so easy to doubt and so easy to wonder and, you know, what's the point? What am I doing? And then at other times, it'd be so crisp and clear. Boom, boom, boom. And since that moment of answering the question, there's more here I need to do, I've been, it feels like, flooded with classrooms and flooded with homework, and flooded with challenges, in the good way, if I can remember. Sometimes it feels overwhelming. Sometimes I feel like, man, you would think by this time I could, working on life so much, working on myself so much, that it would just get to be a little bit more of a coast, right? You think I could just land, chill back and retire and sip margaritas, but no. Now I'm in the advanced classes. Now I'm in the independent study. Now I'm being pushed by the skill set and the wisdom that I slowly start to get a feel of or a touch of in my best moments. In my low moments, I've lost it all and I'm totally broken and flawed and a mess. But in my grounded moments, I can tap into some of this timeless wisdom that I've brushed against over the last 46 years. And the thing that has been in all these different avenues over the last 2 months has been about communication, about honesty, about facing scenarios that are uncomfortable, about letting people down, about following truth and honesty, even if it makes people uncomfortable. And sometimes the lesson that comes back is like, you were so worried that people were going to be upset, and look, it's no big deal. Like, and sometimes the lesson is, this is the price you have to pay to be in integrity, is that sometimes people are going to be hurt. Some people are going to have, their story is going to be different than yours, and they're going to have an expectation that you will be or act or see things that they do, or like they do, and when you don't, it can feel very personal. And the pursuit of having everyone like you, the pursuit of avoiding hurting feelings or bothering or causing discomfort is not the path of the warrior. It is not the path of growth. It is not the lesson. That's not the classroom. And it's not the adventure. And so there's been all these scenarios within interpersonal, within relationships, some of which have been so clearly worked through and like, oh, I'm so glad this has all worked out. Some of which, wow, there's now consequences. Some of which are in the middle of like, no matter what happens, someone is going to be hurt in this scenario. A lot of people are already stirred up. But no matter how this plays out, this is not, there's no win-win here. Or if it is, I haven't been able to see that in the classroom yet. We're doing something a little different on the video today. So that's someone commented that it looks great. I am broadcasting on Facebook Live in landscape mode for the first time. So I hope it's working. It looks like it might be. And working through a bunch of technical things right now. One, which is the I'm trying to use a new audio input thing, which if you can hear me in the archive, then it's working. Or on the audio podcast, then hello and welcome and thanks for being patient. But I'm also redoing a bunch of hosting. I also launched the Hug Nation store. Man, as I list these things out, I was kind of beating myself up for not being more productive. And look at that. I just listed off a whole handful of things that are all progress in the traditional sense. But even while all of these things go on, these very physical signs of progress, the point that I'm trying to work through today or think about today in the Hug Nation lesson, the Belief Buffet dish, is that of sometimes progress is not about moving forward. Sometimes progress is about acknowledging that the obstacle in your way is the progress, processing and working through and being in integrity as you deal with the broken glass on the ground, with the upset friend, with the awkwardness in a relationship. That is not what is slowing you down to get to your target date of website launch. That is perhaps far more significant. That is actually why I've incarnated as a human being, is to work through that lesson. And when I feel like, what's the point? I need to remember that whatever is stirring me up to feel like it's, what's the point, is the point. Oh, that's a tough one. Whatever is stirring you up to ask, what's the point, is the point. Whew. One of the huge lessons of Burning Man in context of all this, I could probably start almost every sentence with one of the lessons of Burning Man, but I've become aware very recently in this, looking at how Burning Man is both a classroom and an adventure. We intentionally, as a community, go to this inhospitable place where mere survival is a challenge, and then we take on crazy projects. Your first year, you camp in a tent and try to survive, and then you try to do so and look fabulous. Then you try to do so and erect a shade structure. Then you try to do so and create a gift for the community. Then you try to do so and cook fabulous gourmet food. Then you try to do so and you just like keep raising the bar to make the adventure more fun. When you play the video game the first time, you want it on kind of beginner mode. And then you want to challenge yourself. And then you want to beat the game. And that is part of the fun. And what makes Burning Man significant is that it's very clear that it's done by choice. We take it on by choice, just like you play a video game by choice. So when you get killed, quote unquote, in a game, there's no real pain or distraught because you've chosen. It's optional. You know you're playing a game. You know you're on an adventure. And even though that is exactly the same thing within human life, within this experience of reality, it's very difficult to remember that sometimes. I like to think of the difference between going on the log ride at Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm versus falling off a waterfall. Going on off a waterfall, you're like, ah! Going off the log ride, you're like, wee! And the difference is choice. The difference is knowing that you're in the middle of an adventure versus being a victim to circumstance that is a scary thing. And any time in your life, you can make that designation. You can remember that. Oh, right, I'm on the log ride. No one pushed me off this waterfall. I'm on the log ride. Whee! This isn't in the way. This is the adventure. Whee! This person that I am hurting is also on an adventure. I am not in their way. I am the classroom for them. Whew. So thank you for being part of this adventure, part of this classroom, part of the grand adventure of life. Thank you. I love you. Let us have a hug. Wherever you are, grab yourself by the shoulders. And remember that this body is a gift in whatever state it's in. Even the injuries are a reminder of how amazing everything else is working. It's miraculous. And beneath this physical experience, this personal, fragmented experience of reality is this deeper, personal world of thought and opinion, which is fascinating and interesting and gives your life drama and adventure, but it's also not really who you are. Deeper than that, deeper than the physical experience, deeper than the thoughts that you have, is this love and light that shines through you. And once a week during Hug Nation, we try to tune back into that for 3 breaths, connecting with all those that are here live, all those that are listening on the archive, all those that are totally oblivious to this happening, but do have that light shining through them. We let our light shine through us, unobscured and unhampered by our thoughts and our personal experience. Just being in the one for 3 breaths, in through the nose, out through the mouth. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the Love Warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you. Whee! This is one of the new shirts in the Hug Nation gear store. It says it's a beautiful glass in the front. I think this one has the Hug Nation logo on the back. It's just a soft launch right now. Any input you have as to things that are offered or should be offered, very welcome to feedback and suggestions or bug reports. Every time I think that I have a handle on WordPress, I learn that I do not. I was going to get deeper into some of the examples that I mentioned about things that have happened in relationships, but maybe I'll save some of that for another day when I have more time to process it. I ended up having a lot of tech stuff to do today, so I did not fully form. And sometimes those are the best Hug Nations when I shoot from the hip. But we'll see what we have time for today. It is also Thanksgiving week! And Thanksgiving week is a tough one because on one hand, it is my favorite holiday of the year. It is one of the few holiday experiences we have where there's not an expectation to buy a bunch of stuff, except for food. Excuse me. There is not a whole bunch of marketing that goes around it. And the theme is giving thanks. It's fantastic. Shouldn't every day be a celebration of thanks? And a reminder that every meal is an opportunity to give thanks. I love the opportunity when I have a meal with someone for the first time or after a long break to bring up and say, hey, would you mind if we shared grace? Which is something my grandpa always did, of taking the opportunity. You know you're going to eat every day, so why not, in those moments, recalibrate your baseline to gratitude? And so in one hand, Thanksgiving is this beautiful, pure celebration of gratitude. And it's rooted in a history that is very hard to dismiss. I remember last year, during Thanksgiving time, the Dakota Pipeline was in its most fiery. It was so much conflict and so much struggle, and it was so very difficult to be thinking about this holiday that has a reputation for being about union between new Americans and old Americans. And when at the same time, the First People were being so cruelly treated by this capitalist, oppression. And unfortunately, in the news this week is about pipeline spills, and it feels like it's no less painful, I guess, as a reminder of where we have so far to go in terms of recalibrating where we are and how we treat people. And so I don't know, I'm trying to avoid the tendency to forcing myself to see the bad in everything. There is a lot of things going on right now that are about recognizing how we can be better, whether it is Me Too and sexual harassment, whether it is in privilege, whether it is in race relations and police brutality, whether it is in corruption in politics and the media, whether it is in supremacist beliefs, whether it is in the erosion of the judicial branch and checks and balances within our three-party system. I could go on. And while it is important to not look away from these challenges, I'm also trying to remember that it also does not serve to be overwhelmed and to go so dwelling in the darkness that you cannot celebrate, that you cannot also see the light, that you cannot also fill the well so that you may drink and share. I do slip into that occasionally. And it is a very challenging place to be because on one hand, I talked to someone recently that said that every time they go to a festival, they feel so guilty about the number of people in the world that are in bondage and slavery and suffering and hungry, and they just can't have a good time. And if that idea can motivate you to be of service somehow joyfully, then that's great. But if all it does is poison your ability to enjoy your human experience, then I don't think it's serving you in the way that it can or should. Jacob Glass once said that nobody who is starving feels better because you feel bad, or that you're not enjoying yourself, or that you don't enjoy the food that you have. That doesn't do anything. If it is something that motivates you to be of service, great. If it is something that simply taints and poisons your reality and your gift of this lifetime, I think you're missing the point. The idea is to find your sweet spot where you can enjoy the gift and be of service, where you're of service at a level that enhances your joy, enhances your feeling of connection, enhances your feeling of, as you give, you also raise yourself, instead of giving as a way to try to dig yourself out of this darkness. So I say that to myself, as I say everything when we do Hug Nation. Angel's saying there's always going to be bad stuff going on in the world. And that is, I keep going back to this Instagram meme I saw, which is that the world is not to be fixed, it is to be graduated from. Jesus said there will always be evil men. Buddha did not say, heal the world. I love the famous Zen story about the monk who left the monastery and started to pave the ground in front of him with leather so that he wouldn't get thorns in his feet. And the master says, I get what you're doing here. I see what you're trying to do, but let me propose that instead of trying to change the entire world, why not take the leather and just wrap it around your feet? And I think that there is no shame. There is no, you're not shirking your responsibilities as a human to work on the self, to try to spread light in your immediate circle, to allow yourself to dance and celebrate as part of your healing of the world. That was a big thing about the catharsis in DC that I went to. It was an opportunity to demonstrate this principle to the world and to America, that yes, Burning Man is a celebration. It is a party. It is a way to dance. It is also a way to use these tools of celebration and connection and expression as forms of healing, as forms of tuning in to our truth so that we may use those truths as part of the healing of the world, as a way to connect to people so that the loneliness dissipates into one of union. And we can be so much more of service from that place than one of dark panic and fear, when we can be of love and joy and gifting. So, that is part of the recalibration of Hugnation that I've been doing here weekly for 16 plus years. It is always done in honor of Grandpa Caleb. And as a tribute and connection to all the love warriors in the world, which include you. And it is a way to remind myself to snap out of victim mode, snap out of the belief that there's obstacles in my way. Remember that the technical difficulties I had in setting up were not a problem keeping me from doing what I was supposed to do. That's what I was supposed to do. I think about much more now than when he was around, but I have these videos of Grandpa and I trying to broadcast on Hugnation, and I'm recording on the archive on the 8mm videotape, and so that's what's recorded. And you can see me being so frustrated as I'm trying to get our stream working and trying to get our FTP webcam working, and he's just laughing and having fun. He's trying to remind me that, hey, you know, we're here, let's just talk, you know. And I'm like, I'm not saying it to him, but I'm like, listen, old man, we've got responsibilities. This is supposed to work. We have to get this going. Like, this is important. This is not right. And it's one of those places like, oh man, if I would have just been there with him, we would have had another treasured moment. It would have been recorded on the archive. We could have uploaded it later, but instead I have a archive of him demonstrating Zen and me demonstrating forgetting. I've been enjoying giving away buttons with different phrases at events lately, and so I've decided that I'm going to make a whole series of buttons to give away. And so I've been having fun and thinking about what's another cool phrase or mantra that I use and talk about here that would be fun to make as a gift, whether it's a sticker or a button or something like, or a t-shirt. See, it all comes full circle. One of the lessons that I have been working through or processing or trying to come to terms with is, in this year, I have become much more, I used to, like, every time there was a large gathering, every time there was a festival, every time there was Burning Man or a Burning Man event, I got so psyched up by the crowds and meeting people. And in the last, just recent year or so, I've now been doing that so long that the experience of meeting somebody that I've met before is very commonplace. And it's now somewhat common for me to meet someone and not remember that we've met before. And most people are very understanding about that, but some people, I can tell that it's hurtful and they feel disrespected. And they feel like what we shared in our talk or our moment was significant, and therefore the fact that I don't remember it means that it was not significant. And I try to explain that that's not exactly how my brain works, that I forget things all the time. I'm constantly reading things, notes that I've written in the past to remember things that have happened. The whole reason that I do so much recording online is so that I can remember things that I forget. My family and friends are constantly helping me remember things, important things. So it's not like there's this degree of importance equals memory, but some people don't have no concept of that. Some people's memories work so clearly in that if it's important, they remember it. I actually don't know my mailing address. I've been using it for a year now, and if you ask me what my mailing, every time I'm asked for my address right now, I check an email or the note that I have in my wallet. Now, is it important? Yes, that's important. But if your brain doesn't work that way, it's very hard to understand that someone else's brain does. And so I've had the experience in at events and such, and actually, as I'm saying this out loud, I may have said this last week on Hugnation, I don't even remember, so my apologies, because, like I said, But I had the experience at Utopia where like it was nighttime and it was dark and there's blinky lights and stuff. And so a few times in a row, I started talking to somebody and did not remember who they were, and they were disappointed. And after having it happen a few times in a short period of time, I suddenly became, it affected me. And I had this feeling, wow, normally when I go out and meet people, it feels so energizing. And I love to be there and be hugging, and because it feels like I'm lifting up the energy of the moment. And in this chapter, I was hurting people or bringing down the joy in the moment. And it sucked. I hated that feeling, and ended up spending about 24 hours kind of in hiding out of fear of creating this feeling in people. And that's part of that, you know, what I was talking about, the lesson of the day, in terms of trying to be clear and trying to be honest and in integrity, and recognize that, you know, even if that means causing discomfort or suffering in others, that's sometimes out of my responsibility. And being in integrity sometimes means causing pain in other people. Sometimes that experience is the classroom for them. It just sucks to be that, you know? And I'm sure that's probably something that is, you know, I have crafted a life where that is not very common, but I would imagine that, you know, certain types of leadership and management and parenting, you know, you definitely have to know that you can't make people happy all the time. You can't be what people want you to be all the time. To do so would be totally out of integrity and eventually not the path of the warrior or the leader or the artist or the human, being in integrity. Doesn't make it any easier, but it is part of my current classroom. My pathroom. Maybe that's what it is. The adventure pathroom. That sounds too much like bathroom. Although, the adventure bathroom, that sounds like a fun TV show. So, we're probably going to make this we'll probably break down and shut down fairly soon in this live broadcast. If all goes well, going to go back, do another live broadcast this afternoon with Jacqueline, who I think just popped in the chat room, or in the comments, or to the live broadcast. At the very least, this beautiful day will continue to go, whether we share any more of it or not. But if there's anyone that's got a comment or question or concern or a Thanksgiving memory or feedback that you want to share, we can definitely tune into that and talk about that before we finish up this broadcast. I will plan on revisiting some of these topics in the future when I have more time to think about it. There's some juicy stuff about relationship and some of the boundaries and definitions of relationship that I've been working through and have been super powerful in terms of lessons. You know, I've toyed with types of open and poly relationships most of my life, but have been really digging in to aspects of polyamorous relationships that have been super expanding and super challenging and super pushing me into areas of communication that I've been able to avoid in the past. And it's part of that whole like, oh, this is the classroom that I have now. This is another huge one, is stepping into these non-traditional type relationships and being forced to work through the discomfort. And so often doing so, having a compersion type experience of going through the struggle into the light, into the freedom. The poly stuff has been fascinating because I've had a few mentors that have been very helpful in communication and in like helping me to see what are the issues in place right here, and also in sharing, this stirred this up in me, like, oh, when that happened, and so, but as I'm being stirred up by you doing this, I'm also happy that you are having this experience, even though that experience is not with me, which is a huge part of the big, deep, juicy Pauli lessons of love is allowing yourself or working to feel the joy of someone else's joy, even though you're not the one who gives it to them, or not directly. Last night I had a conversation with one of my mentors and lovers, and I was nervous about talking to her about meeting someone else and having a connection, and that I was wanted them to meet and trying to figure out how that would change things. And I was so nervous about bringing this up, and I didn't want to make her feel bad, and I didn't want it to make it sound like this experience was because of any lack between us. It's just, you know, part of this process is allowing, when there is connection and love, allowing those seeds to grow. And I was so nervous, and when we talked, and she acknowledged certain feelings that were difficult for her, and then acknowledged certain things that were encouraging for her, and that as she was allowing herself to be happy about this and letting go of a fear of what might happen, and instead being open to whatever this flow of love might bring. And when we finished this conversation, you know, by the end of it, I just felt, I felt so close to her. And I felt so like, wow, this is a person, a human being that is my partner in my growth, and I in hers. And from that place, I don't have the responsibility of protecting her or helping her. Like in that place, it's like I was saying today, that the classroom involves, we both are teacher. And sometimes the teacher gives you an assignment that sucks and you don't want to do. But if we follow our path of integrity and love, then the whatever the assignment is right and provides for a lesson in growth that is needed or is what we're here for. And it took the state of honesty and trust and letting go of the desire to control the outcome, letting go of the fear that I might hurt or I might cause jealousy or I might cause pain by being honest with it actually causing pieces of jealousy and pain, but then wrapped into this process of growth. And so as we both went through this process of growth, ending with this, I think, very deep level of affection that also had room for affection and love in other places. And I am a total infant in the world of Pauli, but I have been around people and read about it. And I feel like this is part of that powerful relationship as classroom that I've read about. I should say that when I say Pauli, I'm being distinct from monogamish. Most of my relationships have been a primary partner with the openness to play without romance, without developing relationships. There is love in a, oh, I just saw five dolphins. Boom, 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 boom. There's been the openness and the allowing for in the now love, but not developing multiple relationships. And so that I have a lot of experience with. I have very little experience in the allowing for multiple paths of love and developing relationships. And then as the complexity between those provides for profound opportunities for challenges and growth. You know, had an experience where this lover mentor wanted to set up a encounter with an old lover of hers and his new partner, and I felt very uncomfortable about this kind of pressure of potentially, you know, physical connections with people that I barely knew, and then even was very resistant to even meeting them for a coffee, and was just feeling very uncomfortable about it, and And then I had an experience where I got to actually, this man and I helped our mutual lover move. And in the process of that, I got to know him and love him. He's an awesome person, huge heart. I feel like he's got my back as well as hers. And that experience transferred from this kind of, it transferred into a place of love. It transferred into this we're also partners in this path of growth and discovery and the classroom. We are on the same team. He is an obstacle. If he is providing me something to work on, it is as a partner, teacher as partner, not as taskmaster in the way of the goal line. It is the goal line. There is no obstacles. There's only the adventures and the classrooms. They might be polyamorous dolphins. Yesterday, was yesterday? I'd never seen this here. I've seen pictures of it, but there was a crew of like five paddleboarders and a crew of five dolphins all like going the same pace. And it was just epic. It's like, wow. I wonder what life would be like if we could each do that every once in a while. Vesper saying that Polly has found that it forces her to learn effective communication techniques and to fearlessly and clearly express my feelings. It's difficult and uncomfortable at times for sure, but that discomfort helps us to expand and grow. Right. And that's, you know, it's, I think it is the hot, sharp knife tip of that process of stepping into discomfort and avoiding the need to control people's experience and trying to control someone's suffering or pain and trying to kind of pad the world. And we have so much in this world where people have these private lives and public personas. And it becomes almost comical as you see people who are like railing against homosexual acts and then get caught with a gay lover in their office. You see that this week? It's like, come on. And so on the opposite side of that is trying to be as authentic as possible and then acting and being and trying to analyze thought and see if it can be as in line with our truth as possible. That is powerful. That is world healing. The opposite is what corrupts and what destroys and what, that's where the suffering comes in terms of a global, oh, big spout. I'm getting distracted. The world is so amazing. At least that's how it feels in this moment. And that's another thing. Remember those anchors of joy and good, because otherwise it's so easy to get calibrated off joy into victim, into obstacle, into why me? Instead of we, me. So thank you for being a part of this now moment and letting me share this fantastic, perfect now with you. It is a gift to walk this path, to share this classroom, to have this adventure. I love you. Grandpa loves you too. Please subscribe to the Hug Nation YouTube channel. Follow me on Facebook. You can check out Halcyon Pink on Instagram or just listen to the wind and I'll be there. If you enjoy this, share it with a friend, an open-hearted person who might be part of our wonderful collective Hug Nation family.